I don't care what your GPA was. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can have a 2.0 and be a great strength coach if you can apply, if you can coach, if you have a personality to work with kids versus a summa cum laude 4.0 student who is book smart but can't apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Paul Wenzel, and welcome to another episode of Uncharted Performance, where our mission is to discover, explore, learn, and share knowledge from the best and the brightest in the fields of functional fitness, strength and conditioning, nutrition, and wellness that you can that you can apply inside and outside the gym to elevate your performance. As a good friend of the show called us, we are the Lollapalooza of fitness and strength training, and we are proud to say that. What do LeBron James and Julia Edelman have in common? The answer is one man, and that is Tim Robertson of Speed Strength Systems, located in Chesterland, Ohio. You might not know much about Chesterland, but Tim and Speed Strength are prolific for turning out exceptional athletes for a very long period of time now. Tim holds a Master's of Science in Sports Physiology from Ohio University, go Bobcats, a CSCS from the NSCA, Sports Performance Coach Certification from the USA Weightlifting. He's the head strength coach at John Carroll University and has over 20 years in strength and conditioning, working from youth to professional athletes. Besides Julian Edelman and LeBron James, some familiar names are London Fletcher, Nene, and Ellie Hess. We spend about a good 45, 50 minutes reflecting back on those 20 plus years working with both elite level and youth athletes and everyone in between. This episode is packed with actionable insight, along with a few surprises for both coaches and athletes. And as you probably have guessed it already, Tim's advice applies to everyone outside the gym and stands the test of time. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes. In the month of July and August, one lucky member of the UP Nation will wear a pair of brand new training shoes. You heard that right. You get to pick from the following: Noble, Reebok Nano, or Nike Mecons. It means a ton and helps to give our guests gain more exposure. And last but not least, make sure to tag us on Instagram or Twitter whenever and wherever to let us know when you are catching the show. With that said, let's get educated.
All right.
I am Paul Wenzel, back on Uncharted Performance. We are at Speed Strength Systems with Mr. Tim Robertson Jr.
Welcome.
Thank you. This is a huge facility.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have a ton of space and with running area as well as a full lifting area.
How big is the space in terms of square feet?
Well, the turf area is 10 yards wide by 70 yards long.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest we've seen at a facility.
The lifting area, it's about 10 yards wide by about 40 yards long. So it definitely provides us with ample space. Mm-hmm. And then outside we have a 30 yard by about 15 yard wide sand pit.
Okay.
That's one of our staples.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's actually a perfect day to get outside and train.
We were out there earlier with the kids.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yep.
This might be the hardest question in our conversation.
Okay.
Finding this place. This is a gem in terms of strength and conditioning. You have a wealth of experience and knowledge from youth to extremely high level professionals as well. But getting here is a little tricky. Can be, if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So let's start with that question. How do we actually get here if you're in Cleveland, outside of Cleveland, and people want to train with you?
Well, we are located in Chesterland, Ohio, which is probably from downtown Cleveland. You're looking at a good probably 30 minutes at least, which is mostly highway. And we're right off of Route 306, which is a major runway area, roadway that interconnects right where we're at. We've been in business for almost 17 years. This is our third location, best facility by far. It is a little bit off the beaten track, but it provides us with everything. And it's sort of a destination place.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids, parents will come wherever you're at.
Okay.
And once people get here, it's not as far as they think it is. We're not in Erie, PA.
Yeah.
So it might be an extra 5-10 minutes from what they're used to.
Okay.
So it's worked out great. We've been here. The owners of the facility are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They accommodate us great, and it's just been awesome being here.
Very cool. And thank you for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great to have you here.
And you just mentioned it is a destination place. So people come and to train with you and your staff. Why is that? And I guess we can kind of work backwards with here, but sure. why do people come on and reach out to find?
Well, we've worked very hard for almost 17 years here in Cleveland. We were sort of speed strength was sort of the, I think we were the first ones to be a performance training center. Okay. Eric Lichter and I founded it almost 17 years ago. And that definitely helps because it really allowed us to fit our or put our roots in the ground and develop and establish a great reputation. We like to think that we do things the right way. We're not a gimmick-based circus act here. We do strength and conditioning, performance training, and even personal training, fitness for non-athletes. And we do it the right way. And I think our education, our experience, and our work, additional work, has really helped us establish that reputation. And ultimately, we don't get people injured, and they get results.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, very important.
Very true. So let's work backwards. How do you build that reputation? Because you've been in the field for over 20 years now,
yeah,
which is a very long time. Where do you start? How did you get started?
Well, I started. I went to undergrad at University of Dayton. I've always been in athletics. I went to St. Joe High School here in Cleveland. A very strong athletic background. Great academic school, also. So I was always involved at a high level of athletics. And when I went to University of Dayton, I didn't play sports. And I look back and I regret that, but. So I almost went into nursing, believe it or not.
Okay.
Because I like helping people, mm-hmm. and nursing is one of those professions. So that didn't really work out, and I just decided, all right, and I found exercise science.
Okay.
I said, geez, oh man, studying human movement, mm-hmm. and human body and how it works. And so I found the strength coach at Dayton, Joe Owens, mm-hmm. who has been a huge mentor to me. And I was a sponge with him, mm-hmm. as an undergrad. And then when I graduated, I stayed down in Dayton and worked in a performance training center at Kettering Medical Center. And that sort of got the ball rolling even more. And then went to graduate school at Ohio U. Mm-hmm. I was a GA strength coach under Ethan Reeve, who... he's my biggest mentor.
Okay.
As a strength coach, it's phenomenal. It's Wake Forest, and then down at I went to Miami, Florida, with Tommy Moffitt, who's now at LSU.
LSU, yeah.
And same thing. So I've been very fortunate to have those opportunities to learn and grow as a professional. And then you just have to constantly be willing to grow and get better. And that's sort of how we are. And you know, it's
what fascinates me is this kind of common thread that you want to pull on is how do you go about reaching out to Coach Owens as that undergrad, right?
Yeah.
What is the process of understudy?
Well,
at a younger age.
Yeah. Well, with the tail between your legs, and you walk in as a measly old freshman or sophomore in college, you just say, "Hey, I want to learn."
Okay.
And you know, believe it or not, there's some strength coaches or coaches out there who might push kids away, mm-hmm. which is not good. Joe was gracious enough to open his arms to me and say, hey, let's go. There's a lot to learn, and let's compliment what you're learning in the classroom and apply it. And that really sparked an interest for me as in strength and conditioning. Okay. As you can see, I'm not this big early guy. I'm not sure.
Well, you're very fit.
Well, I like to stay in shape, but I'm not your prototypical strength coach, you know, who is 250 pounds. But you know, it doesn't matter. It's up in the brain that really establishes you.
So the coaches that followed Coach Owens, did they have this similar style in terms of being open to you?
Absolutely. I mean,
they must have been, right?
Absolutely. You know, Ethan Reeve, when he was at Ohio U, was just, first off, an incredible person. Mm-hmm. No ego. None of these guys, Joe Owens, Ethan Reeve, or Tommy Moffitt, mm-hmm. have ego, so, which is awesome. And they just extended themselves to me, and it really helped me.
Okay.
And that's what it's about. You know, and that's how I, you know, if I get interns or students who are looking to learn, mm-hmm. that's how I like to be, is, you know, sort of give back.
Gotcha.
Because a lot was given to me, and I obviously took the ball and ran with it. But it's been phenomenal. All of them open arms, demanding,
yeah.
tough love, but they really allowed me to grow and learn the trade.
Okay.
Which is what's important.
I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but how do you develop as a coach yourself? Are you trying to borrow? Are you trying to mimic? Or are you trying to develop your own unique style versus those mentors?
I think it's a little combination of everything.
Okay.
You see, every coach, and you guys have talked about this in your previous interviews. Everybody has different philosophies. Mm-hmm. So you see different philosophies, see how they might work, and you're dealing with so many different levels of athletes. So you have to have your own philosophy and pick and choose from others as fillers.
Yeah.
Coach Reeve probably influenced me the most about lifting, a lot of Olympic lifting, a lot of simple things.
And when you say simple, what does that mean?
Just, you know, not trying to get too crazy with the design.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Get stronger. Get faster.
Uh-huh.
Be able to tumble and be an athlete. I think a lot of times nowadays, especially in the fitness industry, people are just trying to get too extravagant with a lot of
the next new shiny thing.
And, you know, you can't reinvent the wheel. Squatting is squatting, and if you're not squatting, I think you better start squatting.
Yeah.
So Coach Reeve always says you have to have an open mind. There's many different training philosophies, mm-hmm. the high intensity, nowadays CrossFit, the traditional power, you know, one set till failure. So whatever they might be, he said, have an open mind. And you'll be able to finally funnel out your own philosophy and apply that to the athletes. And that's sort of what I've done here.
Okay.
We deal with a lot of diversity with athletes, mm-hmm. talent-wise, from youngsters up to pros. And I'm also at John Carroll as well.
Yeah.
And so it's I got to be able to juggle the scenario in different ways to accommodate who I'm working with.
Gotcha. If you had to describe your coaching style or your approach to this various demographic that you work with, what would that be?
Ground-based power, speed type strength coach.
Okay.
As you see, we don't have really any machines in here, a couple upper body machines,
yeah.
but we do a majority of things with 1 or 2 feet on the floor. A lot of Olympic-style movements, multi-joint movements to establish that power, ground force production. That's a lot of the lifting. We also do a lot of stabilization work as an injury prevention to create or to minimize the imbalances, a lot of imbalances
okay.
in athletes. With our speed work, it starts with technique, basic mechanics, and then you grow from there mm-hmm. with that. We, you know, if you come and watch us train, yeah, we get pretty advanced with some of the things with
okay.
chains and bands, but we're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
I mean, we really aren't.
Okay.
And the reason is it works.
Yeah.
We're always looking to try to get better, but you have to go with what works and then build from that.
Okay, so how do you get better now? Because you've been, like I mentioned, you're an experienced veteran of strength and conditioning. How do you continue to get better?
Constantly learning. Uh-huh. My mentors, I try to reach out to my mentors as much as I can. I don't do as much reading of the science, but what I'm doing a lot more is leadership reading.
Okay.
You know, we're coaches, we're leaders, uh-huh. and we're educators. So if we can't lead a group of athletes, you can have the best system in the world. It's all for none.
Yeah. I mean, softer side of.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you know, and I'm reading a book now called Extreme Ownership, how right. the Navy SEALs, yeah. you know, win the day. And they say it's not the bad soldier, it's the bad leader that loses the fight.
Yeah.
And it's very similar. I mean, it's not always the worst athlete that's going to lose the battle or the game. It's that leader probably failed in some capacity. Yeah, exactly. So I'm just a lot of personal development like that. And I think that's really helped me as a strength coach, applying all the science, which is never ending, to the coaching, to all the different athletes.
I think we had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Judd Logan. And I think one of the things he mentioned is you can have a great coach from a programming perspective, but if he's a terrible leader, people are going to fall flat on their face.
I firmly believe
that. If you have a decent coach, but a great leader, you're going to go a lot further than versus the opposite.
Yeah.
What have been your two or three biggest aha moments in the past 20 or so years?
Probably, well, one is sort of branches off in two. One, training LeBron James and Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Both these guys were the number one picks in the draft. And it probably hit me more last year because Ben Simmons was the number one pick last year. And I was watching the draft. I was actually at the Perform Better conference in Chicago at that time. It was a Thursday night. And we sort of knew Ben was going number one, but I had the great fortune of working with Clutch Sports, the management group, to be the strength coach and work with Ben, develop Ben, prepare him for the next step. And when his name was called, it just really sort of, I said, this is pretty cool. Because not many people can say that. I like to think I'm not a boisterous guy, but that was pretty cool. And obviously the LeBron back in, 2002 or 2003, the phenomenal. But, you know, having a parent come back to me and saying, hey, little Joey, who trained with you 6 years ago, is going into the same profession you're going into because you had that much influence on him. That's special. That's sort of like a teacher. We're teachers, believe it or not. We're teachers in a different classroom.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's sort of like somebody coming back to a teacher saying, hey, little Joey is going to be a teacher, or he's gone on to get his PhD. So that's been really special. I mean, there's just been a lot of circumstances where kids have just excelled and worked and worked and worked and got better. Too many to name, really. Yeah. But those are two that I'm very proud of. And
if you had to pick between those two, three moments, but Simmons or LeBron going number one versus the kid that wants to be the next strength and conditioning coach, put you on the spot. Which one do you value more?
Probably the youngster.
Okay.
The young kid, because LeBron and Ben were going to be number one without me, regardless if I was with them or not. I think the impact I had on the young student who used to train with us, who was so impacted on what we do and why we do it, and just the personality and the relationship you establish, that's special. Okay. That's really special.
Very cool. Very cool. Yep. I thought you might say that.
Yeah.
So speed strength. Oftentimes people see them to be at odds, but you have the name. They're right after each other.
Yep.
All right. So speed versus strength, which is more important? Is one more important than the other?
I'm a big believer in looking at strength first.
Okay.
And
why?
Well, strength is the foundation of speed. Mm-hmm. And I tell this to people when they come in, they say, yeah, little Joey wants to get faster. The first thing I say, well, what is his strength program like? And they say, wait a minute, we're talking about speed. I say, well, how much force do they apply through the ground? Mm-hmm. That's going to dictate a lot of that result of running. Obviously, there's other things like running technique and the biomechanics of running. But I'm a firm believer that if you want to get faster and maximize your speed, you have to get stronger.
Okay.
And I don't mean by having to squat 5,000 pounds in a training session, but I think if you learn to exert force through the ground through the various Olympic lifts, which doesn't mean you have to get very heavy. Mm-hmm. We're looking at bar speed and pushing through the ground.
Power, yeah.
But also, having strong legs, squatting, lunging, split squats, overhead squats, front squats, step-ups, the variety mm-hmm. of things. With our NFL combine guys, which the 40-yard dash is probably the most important thing for these guys, we focus on that twice a week. Ton of technique, a lot of, the starts and everything, but we focus 3 days a week on the strength part. So I just think they're both important, but if you had to pick one or the other as an athlete, strength.
Okay. I like that.
A lot of people might be debating that, and I'm sure it's very debatable, but that's just my opinion, and I think science proves that in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Be strong enough that you can generate the speed necessary for your sport.
Yep.
Awesome. What are some of the exercises that make you cringe?
Make me cringe when I see people.
Yeah. Do them or coach them. Like, hey, hold up. Maybe you should stop.
Yeah, obviously the Olympic lifts. Uh-huh. Nowadays, we're living in a YouTube generation of trainers. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here, but it's off the chart. Mm-hmm. People are not educating themselves on proper lifting, the science behind the lifting. And they're seeing like CrossFit Games and these guys throwing up 225 snatches like, it's nothing, and they go in the gym and they start doing it. They've helped orthopedic surgeons with injuries, deal with injuries. So the Olympic lifts are probably number one.
Okay.
We spend a lot of time with broomsticks, empty bars mm-hmm. to make sure their technique is in the proper progression. That's number one. And then we move them forward. And we do Olympic lifts with all of our kids.
Okay.
From, youngsters as young as, in some capacity, 10, 11-year-olds, teaching them how to do a hang shrug.
Okay.
It's technically an Olympic lift.
If for somebody that's listening, that might be a parent, right? Because I hear this a lot from friends or, even colleagues at my professional career. Is that, kids shouldn't necessarily, they shouldn't be doing this, right?
Yeah.
So why should they be?
Well,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But
I think, and this is how much confidence we have in our background, our education, our experience working with young kids, is they are at a greater risk of injuring themselves playing on the soccer field or baseball field or football field than they are in here. In 17 years, we've had no injury sustained in here from a lifting issue. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud of that because we spend a significant amount of time coaching these kids on proper technique. Mm-hmm. So, And I also think that's somewhat of a myth. And once again, it's probably very debatable with the medical society of the growth plate, stunting of the growth in that. Well, you know, skipping rope in gym class, that's a plyometric. Is that going to stunt their growth? Here, or in a properly designed program for a young athlete, if you progress them properly and train them in a proper way, it's going to build confidence. It's going to build strength, balance, coordination, which will in turn make them better on the athletic field. And, you know, nowadays phys ed is almost non-existent.
Exactly.
And it's a travesty. Kids cannot do push-ups. Kids can't jump rope. Some of the fundamental things.
Can't squat.
They can't squat. They can't bend over. These are functions of life, especially squatting.
Yeah.
And you look at all that and you're like, geez, oh man, I deal with that at the collegiate with John Carroll. Yeah. And a lot of kids don't know how to do a push-up. And it's like, what did they do?
It's unfortunate.
They've taken away phys ed, which is, and you look at, I mean, we can go on and on about diabetes and obesity, but so.
It's unfortunate, The focus has shifted to obviously different things, even though the fitness aspect is has such a carryover to health and, you know, the development of the brain.
Absolutely.
And the neurological system that will help you, you know, in the classroom and whatever else you might be doing.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not gonna try to go off on tangents. So no, I get on the pedestal.
I
did interrupt you. So besides the Olympic lifts, another exercise that makes you
I would categorize squatting as part of the Olympic lifts. Okay. So you have the platform lifts, the cleans, the snatches, and all that stuff, and the squats. Just doing simple things like standing presses, the arching of the back, you know, I guess any type of exercise you do and you do it incorrectly and excessively, overtraining is significant. So I think those are the two areas, but they broaden out. You just shake your head. And like I said earlier with the YouTube fascination of being the most creative, blah, blah, blah. People don't know why they're doing an exercise that they see on a video. Why are you doing it?
Or even what it took that person on that video to get there, right? It could have been years and countless hours to actually develop the body to be able to be in that position and carry that load.
You don't know what status they are.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there's some crazy stuff and you see it. And it's crazy.
One person comes to mind is Dmitry Klokov, the retired now Russian weightlifter, who's crazy strong, and he can get away with some things he does on YouTube. Does not mean you should be doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Because he's been at it since age 5.
Yep.
And other things.
Yeah.
Last question before you take a break. We kind of touched upon it briefly. And you can't say Olympic lifts as the answer to this.
Okay.
I'll preempt it. But generally speaking, some of the exercises that one or two exercises that you've seen have the biggest carryover to on-field performance. And I know that's a very broad statement or question because of the different sports that you work with.
No Olympic lifts. Coach Reeve is going to be upset.
Besides, in addition to.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of doing a lot of single leg stuff.
Okay.
You know, not just double leg squat, but a single leg squat, a pistol squat, split squats. I think those are a huge area that will help go against the imbalances. Often you have imbalances.
And would you, as an accessory movement or as the main movement of the workout?
It depends. Like, for example, we'll do a split squat. We can do max effort split squats. Yeah. Whereas the pistol squats, those are sort of a warm up.
Yeah. Okay.
So that I think that's one area. And single leg movements where, doing a single leg shoulder press, working on your balance. Often those are areas that a lot of young kids and even older athletes miss is the balance component. And I think another area is the core. We do a lot of weighted planks, mm-hmm. not for an extended period of time, but for, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 seconds. And that is utilized in every movement. And a lot of people have very weak core
yeah.
that leads to issues,
yeah.
injuries. And then the hips, you know, doing, and that coexists with squatting and the other leg exercises, but building good, strong, stable hips and mobile hips. Mm-hmm.
Any examples of exercises
for here? The hips?
Yeah, for the hips.
Yeah, we call them X walks, where you can either long bands, and you're just doing lateral walks.
Okay.
Firing the glute.
Gotcha.
We do multi direction of that. Yeah, we do a lot of hip bridges and things like that,
okay.
just as a warm up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't fire your glutes, it could lead to other areas.
Gotcha.
Like we do a lot of post rehab things, mm-hmm. like an athlete has gone through ACL rehab and then now what? So they'll come here, and I have a background in sports medicine as well. So I continue with that rehab type mindset and ton of hip work.
Okay.
Just for that therapy, post therapy work.
Awesome. Actually, I just had an aha moment too. So thank you. Because when you think of single leg exercises, most, including myself, most of the time we think about just the lower body, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, squats, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I do presses from the split just to help with the jerk.
Yeah.
But, you know, single leg, you know, overhead press, never really thought about it doing that way. So
balance.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Tim. We are back with Tim Robertson, Jr. at Speed Strength Systems, talking all things strength and conditioning, getting wonderful insight.
Well,
me especially,
you.
So I appreciate that. Let's get into some, I guess, contrast between some of the athletes that you work with. So you do work with a broad range of any not only sports, but also of ages. So let's actually, before we get into the contrast, what are your expectations of the athletes coming in to work with you?
I think, as simply put as I could, is to maximize their time, whether they're here or at John Carroll,
mm-hmm.
Or off-site. Maximize your time. A lot of athletes don't have what it takes to do that, or they don't know how.
Uh-huh.
So it's up to us, the coach, to try to pull that out of them,
okay.
to maximize their efforts. You might not be the strongest kid mm-hmm. or girl, and as long as your effort is good, we're happy. And we get frustrated sometimes because sometimes the effort is not where it should be.
Okay.
Whether it's a bad day or they just don't want to put forth that effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the bottom line, is getting the maximum out of that day with great effort.
What do you expect of yourself?
Same thing. People are coming to me and my staff, Tom McGinty, who's a great coach,
mm-hmm.
and they trust us
mm-hmm.
to help them get better. So it's our job, our obligation, to provide them our best. And I just finished reading the I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan,
okay.
Born to Run. It's his autobiography.
Uh-huh.
And Bruce, in his book, says, here's an iconic musician.
Yeah.
Every night, he goes out and he wants to provide the best experience for every fan in that arena.
Yeah, no matter where you're sitting.
No matter where you're at. And it is his obligation, the E Street Band's obligation, to deliver. And if they don't, Bruce lets them know. And I've seen 30 of his shows, and he delivers every time.
Okay.
And so that's sort of my philosophy here is, and at John Carroll. You know, we all have bad days, and but you got to just block those out and deliver for that athlete.
Okay. And speaking of delivering, this is kind of a joke. Talking during the break, I mentioned that Tim is very laid back and mild mannered. So if you don't know Tim, that might necessarily be the case when you come and train with him, right?
Yeah.
He might turn up a few notches.
Depends.
All right. What are some, so looking back and reflecting back on all the athletes that you worked with, and there's been hundreds, some of them have made it to, you know, the highest of levels, right? Some of them have not for whatever reason. What are some of those common denominators that you could pick out of those that have succeeded based on what their measure of success was? Because people do measure success differently. Somebody sure. might make it to high school, playing the varsity team. Somebody wants to go to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
So those are a little different.
I think work ethic is one thing that mm-hmm. can really establish one from another. Julian Edelman, perfect example.
Yeah.
Julian trained with us in 2009 for the draft. I saw first day his work ethic, his drive, and it look at him now.
Yeah.
He's Tom Brady's number one receiver. Not because he's the fastest, not because he's the tallest. His work ethic is unparalleled. LeBron's another one. I mean, it's well documented, his training regimen, how he takes care of his body. I think really on top of his great athletic ability,
yeah.
has allowed him to be where he's at for so long. You know, having the vision of where you want to be. You know, do you have what it takes to make the sacrifices to reach that vision? Are you going to give up drinking? Are you going to give up partying? Are you going to give up doing those small things that might not be significant to your establishment as an athlete? Some people might not be able to do that, and we hear about those stories,
yeah.
Especially at the pro level. Drive is another big common denominator of winners, just having that drive. How are you going to deal with animosity? Mm-hmm. How are you going to deal with the issues that might pull you away? You know, often those can be the determining factor of winning and losing if you don't know how to establish.
Yeah.
And then the mental side. A lot of athletes may be mentally weak and great athletes, and then they lose because that mental weakness comes to the surface.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the common denominators. And I didn't mention anything about strength or anything.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's actually a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you have to work and train like a maniac, but intelligently to reach those levels as well. But all those side parts need to come into play as well.
Anything that you do in the gym specifically to, let's say, help an athlete develop that mental fortitude that you're talking about?
There's some conditioning things that we do. I think those are probably the most popular, just with some of the conditioning things, when it's hot and they want to shut down, and you just try to pull one more set out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're doing a max effort lift or a certain lift, where we're going to try to really motivate them to, you know, just find a way. And often those athletes who have those abilities find a way.
Okay.
And sometimes they don't, but they get it the next day.
Gotcha.
Which is fine. Yeah,
so
bad days.
They recognize that this
yep.
isn't the end, right?
Yeah.
You still got the yep. next day to come in.
Yeah.
Any friendly competition rivalries between athletes? Prospects?
Not really.
Okay.
Dealing with the young kids here, you know, from mm-hmm. grade school up through high school and college, the kids really different schools. They could be rivals.
Uh-huh.
They all really work together,
okay.
and they
support each other.
You know, shoot the shit together, and they joke around. They be, and some of them become pretty good friends, which mm-hmm. is good, which is okay. good to see. And you know, life is too short not to. You know, who cares what school you go to? we'll deal with that on the field. Yeah. But when we're here, let's go. And if anything, that could motivate them mm-hmm. to work harder.
For sure. So speaking of that, great segue. So we just mentioned youth athletes, and then we've mentioned some professional athletes. What is the biggest difference between working within that spectrum, right? From the maybe the young boy that's, you know, or girl that's 10 or 11 to somebody that's might be, you know, heading into the NFL combine.
Yeah.
What are some challenges for you as a coach, and then some of the, I guess opportunities too?
Well, I think aside from the physical difference, because, yeah. you know, some of these guys are just physically unbelievable, mm-hmm. and they've been gifted with so much. You try to pull out, they've been gifted with so much, the highest level guys, but often they don't utilize it. So you try to pull out that full
yeah.
capacity uh-huh. of work. I think keeping them motivated, pro athletes who I train sometimes might lose that motivation, so it's up to me to keep them motivated, tell them why we're doing stuff. I think that's important, and it sort of puts them on the same level as me. Hey, we're going to do this drill because it's going to relay to you doing this better. Mm-hmm. So they can relate to that. The biggest difference, I think, with training a pro athlete who's making a lot of money versus a younger athlete is prolonging their career. You know, I think, and this is just my experience with working with NFL players, guys who are in the NFL, their days of squatting 500 pounds, a lot of them don't like to do that.
Yeah.
So we look for other ways that we can get their legs stronger to prevent injuries, but also prolong their career. And there are many ways to skin a cat. Whereas a college kid, hey, we got to squat. Let's yeah. go. Let's get as heavy as we can. Now, some NFL guys, they do. They mm-hmm. still maintain that level of intensity. But so you have to be able to be flexible with that. Younger kids, there's a lot more teaching, like I mentioned earlier, with the broomstick work. You know, building that foundation yeah. and then going from there. Some kids adapt quicker than others, and others are just, they can barely walk and chew gum. So you have to be very patient. I've become very patient through the years. that's the way it is.
Okay.
And, so I don't know if I answered that question, common denominators, but.
Who's easier to work with? The kid with the broomstick or the professional athlete?
I guess it depends. The broomstick, you just have to be patient.
Uh-huh.
Whereas sometimes the attitude might be a little off for the yeah. day, but usually it's not. So it's all good. I mean, I guess that's a politically correct
yeah.
statement, but it's all good working with both different levels. Mm-hmm. You just have to know when to, getting to know the athlete and knowing what buttons to push
okay.
is very important, whether they're pro or whether they're a youngster just starting off. It's just, there's not just one way of coaching. You have to adapt to who you're coaching, and that's okay. very important.
So you don't have one style for all athletes?
I have one philosophy uh-huh. in the weight room, but you have to be able to change your personality in a way that is going to be, allow that athlete to connect with you. Like at John Carroll, I work with 6 women's teams mm-hmm. and about 8 men's teams. I don't train every team the same exact way. So, you know, the women's volleyball, yeah, we're doing a lot of the same methods, but my interaction with the female volleyball players is different from football.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to know how to do that, and I think the athletes respect that. I'm not a hard ass, and I expect a lot out of them. Mm-hmm. They know that. When they don't give me their full effort, we have problems.
They'll find out.
The wrath of T-Rob. Yeah. They call me T-Rob. Oh, nice. The wrath of T-Rob. So.
So we have to come back to when you're actually doing, when you're actually training people to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Get that on tape. Maybe splice it in during, during the break.
Absolutely.
Get motivated. Strength and conditioning is can be a very difficult field to break into. You've been very fortunate with the people that you've worked with and the mentors that were open to you and your own hard work and diligence to develop and learn over those years. For somebody that's maybe in your same shoes and let's say college, right? So think back to where you started. And again, reflect back on the years that you have coached a youth, professional, and everybody in between. I guess a few nuggets of advice to that young high schooler or college girl or guy that wants to pursue this field.
Be open to learning. You know, some of these, I've run into some young kids. I've been at John Carroll for 6 years, and you know, I'm blown away sometimes by the mindset of some of these kids. They think it's going to land on their lap, and it just doesn't happen. You have to go out and be proactive and learn. Education is the one thing, but experience is, I think, equally important. When I have a job opening here at Speed Strength, I don't care what your GPA was. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can have a 2.0 and be a great strength coach if you can apply, if you can coach, if you have a personality to work with kids versus a summa cum laude 4.0 student who is book smart but can't apply. So I tell that to the kids, hey, you got to get experience. Be a sponge. Get different experiences from different coaches, because like we mentioned earlier, there's so many different ways to train. Mm-hmm. And one's not right, one's not wrong. So it's how you apply it, and have an open mind. And that goes back to Coach Reef. Those are the words that resonate in my mind. Have an open mind about training. Pick your philosophy. Stem off of that. And I try to tell the young kids that. And we have a kid who's going to be a senior at Kirtland High School, mm-hmm. who is going to be a great strength coach one day. And this kid is putting in time. He's learning. He's asking questions. He's a junior, going to be a senior in high school, which is phenomenal to see. Be patient. Be able to be willing to relocate, because there's not a lot of jobs. It's very competitive. Mm-hmm. Pursue a graduate assistantship. Those are great ways. Attend clinics. Be proactive with your trade. You know, get your certifications, the CSCS, USAW, any other pertinent certifications will help market you. So awesome. Those are just some things that I think the young aspiring strength coaches can do.
Okay, I'm going to just one more question before we wrap up. So besides the mentors that you worked with and some of the certifications you mentioned, any resources that kind of pop into your mind that people maybe could go to or look at? Besides the YouTube sensations.
Yeah.
Doing backflips with
stay away from YouTube. Boy, there's so many books and and
any favorite authors?
One of my favorite training books is Super Training by Mel Siff and Beroshansky.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty detailed.
Yeah.
But that is just, you open it up and it's just full of information.
Yeah. It's hard to get a hold of, too.
Yeah. But. Yeah. The Essentials book was 1994. I remember when I was sitting for the CSCS exam, I read that book through and through. And a lot of it still is applied to that test and the basics around strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. Tudor Bumpa had a book boy, this was probably 10 years ago or so, if not longer, called periodization. And I remember reading that, and it, okay, these are the different philosophies on periodization, different types of periodization. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones off the top of my head. I need to get current with a lot of the, there's so much research and great stuff mm-hmm. out there with books. But like I said, I'm doing more leadership mm-hmm. books.
Which is, as we talked about, as valuable.
Yeah.
And in some instances, yeah. even more.
Yeah.
Once you have that knowledge base.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. All right. So let's bring it back around to how we started. So where can people find you physically and then, I guess, socially, fake socially?
Yeah. We are located in Chesterland, Ohio, 8495 Mulberry Road. If you know where Patterson Fruit Farm is, that's the street, Mulberry. We're right there. Big old facility. We're open year-round. Our phone number is 440-796-1483. And our website is speedstrength.com. And we're actually going to be redoing our whole website real soon.
Oh, very nice.
Our Facebook page is Speed Strength. We have Instagram, Speed Strength Systems. I'm not sure. I don't handle the social media.
It's all good. We'll do the spying. We'll do the spying for you. And as always, we'll link it up to the show notes.
Showing my age.
It's all good. You're obviously focusing on the right things.
Yes.
Right?
Well, so, true.
That said. Yeah. Tim, sir, thank you very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Anytime.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on another great episode of Uncharted Performance. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a second and leave a rating and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Each month we will select a winner to win a special prize. This month we are giving away a pair of brand spanking shiny new training shoes. Your choice of Nike Metcons, Reebok Nanos, or Nobles. So make sure to rate and review. Let us know when and where you are listening by tagging us on Uncharted Performance on Instagram or at Reach Uncharted on Twitter. Take care for now and see you next time. And don't forget to use the code UNCHARTED for 10% off on strength.com on all their supplements. Rage on, UP Nation, and reach the Uncharted.